Every year, the multi-billion dollar proceeds of organised crime are pumped into the global economy, a torrent of dirty cash that's laundered through the banking system to disguise its origins. Keen to find out how it's done, two journalists began to investigate one alleged route through which the Italian mafia hides its money. Now, in this last episode of their three-part report, they start to zero in on some answers.
This three-part investigation is an attempt to answer some deeply puzzling questions. They stem from an Italian police inquiry into organized crime, which took place in the city of Palmi in southern Italy between 2016 and 2018. According to police wiretap recordings, the man at the center of their investigation, an IT entrepreneur called Roberto Ricordare, was preparing to launder hundreds of billions of euros belonging to the mafia. He denied the allegations and to date has not faced charges. We began digging deeper into the police files and found that at least some of the assets allegedly managed by Ricordare were indeed shrouded in mystery. Supposedly related to some kind of vast secret trust fund, they were known collectively by their peculiar code name, White Spiritual Boy, and somehow linked to two men, Sergio Contessa and Dimitri Vertl. But we discovered that Contessa was murdered decades ago, and that Dimitri Vertl was an entirely fictitious character whose identity had been assumed by many different people over the years, including Roberto Ricordare himself. In the two previous episodes, our search for the truth about these strange affairs took us from Italy to Slovenia to Ukraine, in the process uncovering a complex system of shell companies apparently involved in fake banking transactions. On paper, at least, the transactions involved trillions of dollars and jurisdictions known for their lax money laundering controls. Our inquiries into one of these transactions led us to an Afghan businessman called Shafiqullah. He told us that he'd traveled across Central Asia with Roberto Ricordare, who had signed contracts promising to invest hundreds of millions in development projects, but the money never materialized. In November 2022, we tried to pin Ricordare down to why the contracts had never been fulfilled. He'd again denied having any ties to the mafia or to moving their money, but otherwise, his answers were frustratingly ambiguous. All he'd say was that he'd been authorized to withdraw money for the investments from the legendary White Spiritual Boy accounts.
Sono conti fatti al tempo che sono come se fossero al portatore, comunque riferibili a... a delle persone fra cui Contessa e Dimitri Vert, perché poi i nominativi all'interno possono essere reali o fittizi, perché comunque sono cose che al tempo erano concesse nel sistema bancario.
The truth still lay tantalizingly out of reach, but for the moment we had another White Spiritual Boy puzzle to resolve. It had first come to our attention many months earlier, when we'd heard about an extraordinary press conference taking place thousands of miles away.
I have been appointed as a joint mandate holder of a heritage fund known as White Spiritual Boy Trust.
In April 2021, a former prison mate of Nelson Mandela, the respected ANC veteran, business tycoon, and ex-government minister, Tokyo Sekhwale, made headlines in South Africa when he called a press conference in Johannesburg. It was to denounce the alleged theft of assets from a huge trust fund that he said he had been given a mandate to administer. The fund's name, White Spiritual Boy.
Should the information exposed to me be correct, it will have a serious catastrophic effect on the South African Reserve Bank and the entire political and financial reputation of our new democracy.
Mr. Sekhwale told journalists that the fund, amounting to many billions of dollars, was supposed to be spent on poverty relief and development projects across Africa, but had been steadily siphoned off by several prominent figures. He said he'd referred the matter to the police. At first hearing, it seemed like another fantastic story, except that Mr. Sekhwale seemed an unusually credible source. Could he give us the elusive information about the white spiritual boy accounts that we'd been seeking?
Hello? Tokyo, we can't
hear you. Hello, Tokyo. I think you're still muted.
After our first cautious contact, Mr. Sehwale and his associates, financial advisor Paul Wooten, and a man named Godwin Webb we had yet to meet, sent us documents they said would back up their claims.
These funds exist. I was not out of my mind.
The papers, details of apparent bank transactions and other correspondence, did indeed name-check a number of prominent figures from the ANC ruling party and South Africa's political establishment. Then, one of the documents suddenly made us sit up. It said, the above SBIS was created on the 1st of June 2021 with the help of Mr. S. Dimitri and Mr. M. Sergio. The appearance of these two names on a document on the other side of the world may have been just a freakish coincidence, but it was enough to get us on a plane. Our first interview was with Mr. Godwin Webb. It had been he who had sent us a document on which we saw the names Dimitri and Sergio. But he also claimed he'd been nominated by a Singaporean representative of the trust to handle the release and dispersal of its funds on the African continent. This responsibility was now shared with Tokyo Sehwale.
Started in beginning of 2016, I was contacted by the proxy from Singapore to say that yes, he should give me a chance to get the funds released.
I've come across two names, which are Dimitri and Sergio.
I think I sent you a document with that on already.
How did you get this document?
Cannot tell you, but not that I don't. Can't tell you, but I can't even remember.
Where have you seen these accounts? How did you manage to see what's inside?
Unfortunately, it's through a hacker. You showed me.
While we absorbed Godwin Webb's startling claim, we waited for another interviewee, Mr. Sehwale's banking advisor, Paul Wooten. He told us he had once been a banking compliance officer. He now owns a number of software and IT companies in South Africa and the UK. He said he too had seen evidence the white spiritual boy accounts existed.
How are you? Pleased to meet you.
I've basically been in the IT game for a number of years, and I happened to be with colleagues who basically showed me the accounts on a Bank for International Settlement. The fact that there were very large numbers on the system, when it is visible, you can, so it's there. So it's not that I had to believe it, I could see it. So I mean, it's there. There's a number of nets around it to prevent it being abused. Unless, of course, you're inside the central banks. If you're inside the central banks, you can abuse it.
Paul Wooten explained that the reason why the white spiritual boy accounts weren't lying around in open sight in the world's banks was because they had been kept off the bank's balance sheets and that the account details were only lodged at the Bank for International Settlements, the central bank's bank in Switzerland. We later wrote to the Bank for International Settlements asking for a response to that claim. It has yet to reply. In the hope of getting some clarity about this curious but very confusing affair, we finally got to meet Tokyo Sehwale.
I was approached by some people I know in South Africa, and I came to learn that the white spiritual boy is actually a colloquial name for an Asia-based heritage fund. And I was requested to help them to bring it to the attention of various authorities in Africa. We need bridges, we need dams, we need harbors. I'm talking about big things which are not financed by private business. If there's a possibility that this is a scam, I'm the number one in hunting the scammers.
How did you find out that there could have been mismanagement of these funds?
We were getting information from protected sources, and they started saying there are people who are accessing these funds.
Dimitri and Sergio, have you heard these names before?
So when somebody comes to me and says, I am Dimitri, and it's somebody who's very high highly qualified in the world of informatics and technologies. I'm sure if you are given access, some such people can talk to you about that.
Later, we received a telephone call from Mr. Sehwale, who told us that a person was being driven to our hotel to meet us. Finally, we were to come face to face with the mysterious hacker who had showed the white spiritual boy accounts to Tokyo Sehwale and Godwin Webb. He spoke to us on condition of anonymity.
I'm a member of the Hacker Society, 2018, you know, one of the top six. A guy goes by the name of Ghost 66. The reason he came to me 9 years ago, I realized that there's lots of money all over Africa and they've been stealing it. Remember, this whole thing is an off-ledger account.
Yes. What is your understanding of the system of accounts?
It's your higher server than your sovereign BIA system.
When was it created?
In 2017. There's few of us, about six of us, joined part of writing the program and everything to set it up.
There was a guy in Italy, he made a fake passport in Ukraine in the name of Dimitri.
Dimitri, I know that is not Dimitri, I know Dimitri. Okay, let's put it this way. It's a good name.
We'd come to South Africa in the hope we'd learn more about the white spiritual boy accounts. Instead, we'd found a fresh set of rabbit holes. All of those we'd been able to reach among the people name-checked in the documents we'd been sent had denied any involvement in the affair. The South African Reserve Bank had also publicly denied the existence of the accounts or any missing money. And when we later tracked down the person in Singapore, who claimed to have given Mr. Sehwale the white spiritual boy mandate, a long conversation about several QAnon-style conspiracy theories convinced us we were wise to be skeptical. We couldn't altogether rule out the existence of the funds. But if they didn't exist, what was the point of the myth? Back in Italy, we'd begun to believe the white spiritual boy story was possibly being used as an elaborate smokescreen for mafia money laundering. That seemed unlikely to be the case in southern Africa, but clearly someone in the region was finding the legend useful.
Now, startling allegations are being made against Botswana's former president, Ian Khama. It's alleged he instructed the country's central bank to move close to 3 billion rand to secret accounts.
In December 2019, the former president of Botswana, Ian Khama, and other officials were accused by a local tribunal of stealing $10 billion from the country's central bank. Money the accusers said was meant to be used to foment political unrest. Mr. Khama, in exile in South Africa, has vehemently denied the charges, which have also been widely derided in the international community. The accusations against Khama and others were based largely on an affidavit drafted by a Botswana intelligence operative called Yako Hubona. As we read the statement, we found two account numbers that were familiar. One of them was featured in a list of supposed white spiritual boy accounts we had come across before. The other was in one of the documents provided to us by Tokyo Sehwale and his associates. But there was another detail that we couldn't ignore. The handle at the top of one of the documents was Ghost 66, the name of the South African hacker we just met. We sent him a text, asking him whether he was involved. This was his reply. It was time to leave South Africa. Mr. Sehwale and his associates hadn't been able to produce any concrete evidence of the existence of the white spiritual boy funds. The appearance of some of those same account numbers in a court case that had discredited the former president of a neighboring country did little to reassure us of their legitimacy. Unless we were faced with a conspiracy so large as to encompass most of the world's banks and governments, the fabled accounts seem to be just that, a fable. So it was back to Roberto Recordare. He'd insisted that he had access to the money in the fabled white spiritual boy accounts, and not to the mafia profits that Italian police believed he'd been attempting to launder.
Ha mai visto dei soldi veri uscire da sta roba qui? Un finanziamento per un'attività di qualche tipo.
Un caffè.
Un caffè.
qualcuno l'avrà fatto.
Su questo lei non ci ha ancora dato una risposta, però.
Vabbè, non, è una risposta che non mi posso dare, questo. Cioè, bisogna capire che cosa sono i soldi. I soldi sono di fatto delle convenzioni.
The word convenzione in Italian means agreement or contract. Today, much of global finance is based on these kinds of agreements, where value is assigned to collateral assets even when they are only future projects or contracts that have yet to be fulfilled. In April 2022, we came across another such contract. It was an agreement brokered by a business consultant from Milano who was hired by Ricordare to find projects abroad that needed financing. The broker did not want us to show his face, but he was illuminating.
Il sistema è questo. Lui identifica una società che ha credibilità e un progetto vero. Fa un accordo, fa fare un accordo di compartecipazione, di investimento, 50 milioni di euro. Firmano i contratti, parte il trasferimento, ma il trasferimento da te non arriva mai. Perché il trasferimento fa così. E loro ripuliscono 50 milioni con i tuoi contratti, con i tuoi asset. Ma tu non ricevi mai niente. Questa è l'unica spiegazione logica.
Partite dai due documenti che vi invio.
La chiave d'accesso è lì.
After the meeting, the Milan broker sent us a copy of a contract that he claimed to have put together for Roberto Ricordare. The contract was between a Hong Kong company called Shidam Corporation Limited and a Maldives entity named Venza Company Private Limited. In the contract, Shidam, the Hong Kong company, agreed to finance the construction of a resort on an island in the Maldives worth $102.5 million. A third entity, a Tunisian company called Alps Invest SICAF, was supposed to handle some of the disbursement of funds. But who was behind Shidam Corporation? A search in the Hong Kong company register revealed that the corporation was the creation of an Italian national from the small town of Augusta in Sicily, a restaurant owner called Antonio D'Amico. Initially, we couldn't find D'Amico, but we found another of Shidam's managers. He later asked us to conceal his identity.
Senta, io sono un giornalista e sto facendo una ricerca su questa società Xidam, che è una società di Hong Kong. E avevo letto sul suo profilo LinkedIn, se non sbaglio, che lei è un manager di questa società.
Sì, se magari, non lo so, se mi vuole accennare, perché Antonio D'Amico, buon'anima, non c'è più.
E se lei trova anche 10 minuti per incontrarci, ci prendiamo un caffè, le mostro questi contratti.
Per le 17 ci vediamo all'Etna Bar?
As well as the now apparently deceased Antonio D'Amico, there was a second name in the company registration documents. It was D'Amico's wife, a Chinese woman called Xia Huizhen, also known as Jane.
Allora, questo è il contratto famoso, no?
Se guardiamo con Jane, ci vuoi parlare?
Sì.
Tu, se qua riesci a mandarmi copia?
Sì.
Le giro a lei questi documenti. Dico, Jane, c'è questa situazione?
We wrote to Jane Xia Huizhen, asking what she could tell us about the $102 million contract between Shidam and the Maldives company Venza. In her brief reply, she said, Shidam never issued a contract for this amount.
Questa Shidam, che è una società di Hong Kong, avrebbe mandato sui 100 milioni a questa Venza Company, che doveva sviluppare, diciamo, un resort.
Sì, mi ricordo,
no?
Questo, penso che c'è anche
e
il progetto
soldi...
per le Maldives.
Sarebbero stati amministrati da questa società tunisina, che è questa Alps Invest SICAF. Ok. Allora, a noi risulta che Xidam è stata fondata da un signore che si chiama D'Amico di Augusta, e che è morto nel 2017. Okay, aveva aperto un ristorante a Foshan in Cina. Chiaramente questa Xidam non è, no, una corporazione, lo facevano import export.
Mi ricordo il fatto delle Maldive, mi ricordo il progetto delle Maldive, mi ricordo di sta cosa, non mi ricordo chi me l'ha portata però.
E quindi però questa Alps Invest,
questo fa riferimento a me.
È una società sua?
L'avevo creata in Tunisia come cappella ad altre cose, e l'avevo messo là qua come gestore dell'eventuale investimento. Poi l'investimento non è andato a buon fine, perciò.
So we called Abdullah Hanis Musa, the managing director of Venza Company Private Limited, to ask him about the contract.
Hello?
Am I speaking with Mr. Musa?
Mr. Musa, yes, tell me.
I have a contract here between Shidam Corporation Limited and Venza Company Private Limited, and it has your signature on it.
It's a digital signature, so I never signed it.
But are you aware about the existence of this contract?
Yeah, I have seen it. So my duty is to develop the property. So I found the property and I just gave him the option. So since he was unable to arrange the finance, and the bank they haven't received it because I just suspect that it is not correct fit.
How long did you wait before you canceled the contract?
I waited for them like 1.5 years.
According to Mr. Musa, no money changed hands. But his story reminded us of what Shafiqullah had told us about the contract between Roberto Recordare and Orion Bank in Tajikistan, which was allegedly left hanging for 2 to 3 years.
Però a cosa serve fare un contratto con una società alle Maldive e per poi non finanziare? Cioè, a che scopo, ancora una volta?
Tu mi dici, io voglio finanziare Tizio, sì. Sono disposto a farlo, io ti trovo il collegamento per farlo, poi tu non lo fai, io non ci posso fare niente. Cioè.
Quindi lei sta dicendo che in questo caso lei faceva da intermediario, sostanzialmente?
We needed some specialist input. Mario Turla is an anti-money laundering expert at an organization that advises banks, businesses, and governments. What use did he think could be made of multi-million dollar contracts for the financing of development projects worldwide? Contracts that were never actually fulfilled.
Questo contratto lo potrei mettere a garanzia di qualcosa, quindi di un prestito, o giustificare uno spostamento di denaro.
Nel nostro caso specifico c'è un signore che va in giro per il mondo a stipulare contratti di finanziamento per progetti che valgono centinaia di milioni di euro.
Allora, o lui è un intermediario che va e quindi stipula contratti per qualcun altro per poter fare questi investimenti, eccetera, eccetera. Se poi concretamente non viene fatto nulla di quello che viene promesso dai contratti e questo signore continua questa attività, quello che mi viene in mente è che questo signore sicuramente qualcosa fa. Sembra più, diciamo, un'attività di creare degli schemi finanziari per spostare del denaro, quindi si sta parlando di riciclaggio di denaro.
Cioè io con questi contratti in qualche modo potrei avere le pezze d'appoggio per fare questo tipo di operazione qui?
È possibile, è assolutamente possibile.
After speaking with Mario Turla, we called Recordare one last time. Over a poor phone line, he insisted once again he was just a legitimate businessman.
E quindi tutto quello che fai lo fai in maniera legale.
Tale negli stati che sono dove è legale in quello stato.
We'd spent 2 years investigating the mysterious affairs of Roberto Recordare and hadn't found definitive proof that he was moving money for the mafia, as the Italian police had surmised. Nor had we found evidence to the contrary. What we had found was a huge hidden architecture which had been in place for decades, made of a myriad of shell companies registered in the name of proxies and figureheads, and even of dead and imaginary individuals. It relies on the false credibility provided by fantasy banking accounts, bogus securities, fictitious contracts, and other dubious assets to which complicit agents in the financial and business world assign arbitrary value. We saw this system being used in political schemes and in fraudulent dealings worldwide, involving international drug traffickers, computer hackers, forgers, corrupt banking officials, and shady financial brokers. Ultimately, schemes such as this provide a mainline through which huge torrents of dirty money are secretly injected into the legal economy, undermining the set value of all things ordinary, real, and tangible. Whatever the enigmatic Roberto Recordare and others are up to, they aren't the only problem. They're merely making use of loopholes left open by the global financial system, by compliant banks, greedy governments, and lax financial controls. On that disturbing note, it was time for us to move on.